Next matter or matters is Lynn Brothers Construction, City of Bellingham.
Good morning, Your Honors. Alan Mariner representing Appellant City of Bellingham. Co-appellant Peter Fry and the City have agreed to split our time, with the City taking 8 minutes and Mr. Fry having 2 minutes. I'd like to reserve two of my 8 minutes for rebuttal. This morning, the court is reviewing the Bellingham
hearing. Splitting it fairly fine. If you're going to do rebuttal, you're going to do rebuttal. If you're going to split it, you're going to split the 2 minutes, or you're going to take more. We only do this one way. So I'm not going to figure where you are and how much rebuttal you get and then how much rebuttal your co-counsel gets.
Co-counsel will not take any rebuttal.
There we go.
Yes.
That's all I needed to
know. Okay. This morning, the court is reviewing the Bellingham Hearing Examiner's decision affirming the city's denial of respondents' lot line adjustment and wetland stream permit applications. The applications proposed to modify the lines of two existing substandard lots to create two new lots, one of which is undevelopable and the other which can be developed only with substantial impacts to regulated wetlands and wetland buffers. Respondent filed a loop action in Superior Court challenging the hearing examiner's decision. Superior Court reversed the hearing examiner without oral or written explanation, resulting in this appeal. In this loop appeal, this court stands in the shoes of the Superior Court and limits its review to the record created before the hearing examiner. The respondent has the burden of proof to show that the hearing examiner erred, and because the respondent failed to meet this burden of proof, the city is asking that this court affirm the hearing examiner's decision and dismiss respondent's LUPA appeal. I will address three key points in my argument. The first is, this is a case about a lot line adjustment application that fails to meet the city's lot line adjustment approval criteria. It is not a case about wetlands or SEPA conditions imposed in a revised MDNS. The procedures for approving lot line adjustments, which are frequently called boundary line adjustments in state law, are not defined by the state subdivision law. The review procedures and approval criteria are established at the local level. The hearing examiner affirmed the city's decision to deny the lot line adjustment application, finding that it failed to meet three of the four requirements for approval. Under Bellingham Municipal Code Section 1810.020b, the hearing examiner's interpretation of this local ordinance is entitled to deference. The hearing examiner also affirmed the city's decision to deny respondents' wetland stream permit application, finding that denial of the lot line adjustment must also result in denial of the wetland stream permit because the activities proposed in the wetland stream permit could not be carried out without the approval of the lot line adjustment. The site plan that accompanied the wetland stream permit application, showing the location of the proposed building envelopes, drain fields, driveways, and other infrastructure, was dependent on the city's approval of the lot configuration in the proposed lot line adjustment. Much of respondents' briefing focuses on wetland issues and conditions contained in the SEPA revised mitigated determination and non-significance. However, these arguments are not relevant to this court's review of the hearing examiner's decision, which is based on meeting the lot line adjustment criteria. Because the underlying permits were denied on other grounds, the hearing examiner found that respondents' appeal of the conditions in the revised MDNS were moot. My second point is that the city's lot line adjustment requirements prohibit the city from approving lot line adjustments, which make lots that currently meet the city's minimum lot development standards substandard, or make existing substandard lots even more substandard. Again, that's Bellingham Municipal Code Section 1810.020, subsections B, 2, 3, and 4. Respondents' two existing lots are substandard as to size. They are located in a residential neighborhood with a 20,000 square foot minimum lot size, yet the largest lot is less than 8,600 square feet, and the smaller lot is approximately 5,600 square feet. The city's lot line adjustment requirements were not met because the existing lots do not meet the minimum existing density requirements of 20,000 square feet and are further reduced in size by the lot line adjustment. Secondly, the application of the city's required 50-foot front yard setback to proposed Lot A leaves Lot A with no buildable area because the lot is only 50 feet deep. And third, the lot line adjustment application the lot line adjustment application's proposed lot depths, access plan, and septic systems fail to improve the overall function and utility of the existing lots because they create one lot that's not developable and the other lot that requires substantial impacts to wetlands and wetland buffers. My third and final point is that the respondent's lot line adjustment application proposes to create a lot which contains insufficient area and dimensions to meet the minimum requirement for width and area for a building site in violation of both state and local law. I would refer the court to RCW 5817.040 subsection 6, Bellingham Municipal Code section 1808.265, and the Mason versus King County case cited in the city's brief. The city has an important interest in not approving lot line adjustments that create lots that are unbuildable because they lack sufficient area and dimensions to meet the city's front yard setbacks, lot depth, and right-of-way dedication requirements. Unlike respondents' proposed lots, the existing lots have sufficient dimensions to meet these requirements. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Peter Fry, co-appellant and neighboring property owner. I concur with the City of Bellingham and would like to add some comments of my own. The Lynn property is located in Area 9 of the South neighborhood of the City of Bellingham, and although it is within city limits, it is zoned at the lowest density within the city. In fact, the City of Bellingham's South neighborhood plan, revised in January of 2005, describes Area 9 as follows. Land use within this area is single-family structures at a very low density. There are a number of undeveloped paper plats of small lots in very steep or wet areas. This area is predominantly undeveloped steep hillsides with many wet, poorly drained areas. Area 9 also lacks sanitary sewer, and due to that fact and the difficult topography, Area 9 is zoned single-family residential 20,000 square foot minimum lot size. Lind is proposing putting two houses on property under 14,000 square feet in size. The only developed property near or adjacent to the Lind property is to the south, where there are homes on lots of 16,000 to 56,000 square feet in size. Property to the east, west, and north is undeveloped. The Lind property is one of those undeveloped paper plats described in the neighborhood plan. The record shows that the eastern third of the Lynn property is contiguous with a large Category 1 mature forested wetland. The western third has a slope of at least 50%, and that both the Lynn property and the Harrison Street right-of-way contain numerous mature trees. Due to the seriously undersized lots, along with the steep slopes and wetlands, developing the Lynn property as proposed would have a major and negative impact on the environment, the neighborhood character. I respectfully request that this court reverse the Superior Court decision and uphold the hearing examiner's order. Thank you.
Good morning. Excuse me, may it please the court. My name is Peter Dworkin, here on behalf of Lynn Brothers Construction. Is Doc Cam the right button for that? This is a case about a two-man construction company that's trying to build two single-family residences on two lots of record in the city of Bellingham. Now, what I'm putting up here, as the court knows, we are here on a LUPA appeal, and there's a massive record below with a lot of briefing, and I know the court spends a lot of time in looking at the record, and I would just encourage the court to review the briefing that was already done as I think between those briefs and what's been submitted, most of the issues have been covered. But what I think is difficult for this court to understand what happened here is actually looking through the record and seeing what the lot configuration is. This is a blow-up of one of the exhibits. This is at CP 1310, in case the court's interested. This shows the proposed lots. So the proposed lots are lot A here and lot B up above. The pink lines that I put on there are the existing legal lots of record, and you can see that it's a paper plat. So the first lot here consists of three lots that were originally platted in the 1800s. The second lot to the west is two lots. Those are the two legal lots we're talking about. They are through lots, as you can see, most likely as defined under the Bellingham Municipal Code, because Star Court right-of-way is above and Harrison Street right-of-way is below. Now, what's important for this court to review is the factual history of what occurred with this application, because what the city has said occurred is not exactly how this project was handled. And the key is this. The lot line adjustment was placed on hold while the environmental review was to take place. During that process, the city never told Lind or his surveyor about the minor technical deficiencies upon which the lot line adjustment was denied. In fact, the city even granted a draft permit granting the LLA, the lot line adjustment, and the wetland stream ordinance. Then came the environmental review with SEPA, which is one of the issues that we raise in this. With the SEPA process, an MDNS was issued. We appealed that. Lind appealed that first MDNS. While that appeal was pending, out of the blue, while these environmental issues were still being handled, and this, without the city notifying Lind of any of these alleged deficiencies, while that occurred, the LLA was denied summarily for the reasons that are before the court. The city staff admitted that the LLA was changed from an approval to a denial due to the environmental information received, and that's testimony at CP 704. So while the city stands here and has stood here at the levels below arguing that the reason this lot line adjustment was denied are the technical reasons they go through here, we submit that's not the true story of what happened. Now, that being said, this issue has been briefed. Our theory on that is addressed. I want to address the specifics here because I recognize that this court has to address the deficiencies or alleged deficiencies that the city has put forth in the lot line adjustment. The first issue is this. This lot line adjustment can be issued with a condition that says any variances necessary to develop, such as these setbacks they're talking about, must be obtained before a building permit is issued. In other words, if Lind seeks to adjust the lot lines from one to another, assuming it meets the four criteria, there's nothing that prohibits that. Now, here's what's interesting. The first time that we heard of some of these issues in the LLA deficiencies was in the administrative hearing. And the city incorrectly in its reply brief cites a sequence of events that I'd like to clarify. The city in its reply brief puts forth that Bruce Ayers, the surveyor, indicated in his testimony that when he was made aware of the basis for the lot line denial, particularly a 200 square foot and some discrepancy in the lot sizes, that he was able to come up with a solution within hours. That's true, he was, but the city misstates that that was 10 months before our administrative hearing. That's because the city assumes he came up with that solution when the decision was issued. That's not the case. The first time this was actually explained was when there was testimony in the administrative hearing. Lind was never given an opportunity to address these minor deficiencies. Bruce?
I'm not really following the thrust of this argument. What is nefarious about acting on evidence or testimony from a hearing?
There's nothing nefarious, Your Honor.
So if it were true that the first time that the city acted on something was because it was raised at the hearing, how is that different from if it was true that the city had raised an issue 10 months before the hearing? I'm not tracking.
I understand. Because the hearing examiner refused to consider those options. And the city cites in its brief the basis in support of that conclusion of law. But the hearing examiner said, I can't consider these options that Lind gave us at the hearing because it didn't go through the process. And that's what the city witnesses testified about, that the process was important, that Lind should have submitted these and they should have gone through the planning department. The point of my argument is that he didn't have the opportunity. He did it as quickly as possible at the hearing, and the hearing examiner then refused to consider it, and the city argued they couldn't because they didn't follow the right process. Well, the process, as Lind had been told throughout this, was that the lot line adjustment was on hold. So that's the beef that Lind has. With respect to the lot size issue, it is a technical fiction. The issue that's raised is the lots are not being reduced in size. As we know, there are four requirements for a lot line adjustment. We have no new lots created. That's established. We have the lot size can't be reduced. It can't be further infringed on the land use development ordinance and overall function and utility of the lots. So the lot size issue is primarily related to the pipe stem, which you see in this drawing here. Now, those lots are the same size as the lots that are existing. With respect to the pipe stem, the only reason the city says it can't be considered is because of one portion of the municipal code. In our briefing, I explained that conflicts with another portion of the municipal code. The municipal code says that the requirements with respect to lot size and the pipe stem don't apply to lot line adjustments such as this. So the pipe stem piece should be counted as part of the lot. And if the court does that, the lots are the same size. Now, the city may talk about this discrepancy of the 200 square feet. That is literally fixed by moving a line slightly. It was an error, and Bruce Ayers testified about that. Further infringement on the land use development ordinance. We agree the code says you cannot approve, or the city cannot approve, a lot line adjustment that further infringes on the land use development ordinances. However, it can continue to infringe at the level that the existing lots would have. As you can see, the existing lots are burdened by wetland and buffer and also potentially massive setbacks as a result of the fact that they're through lots with large street front yard setbacks on either side. The lots as proposed would infringe on the codes in the same manner that the lots as existing would infringe. There's no new infringement. There's no new level. If you put the infringement on code as the lots currently exist, they're too small, but they're from the 1800s, and you put the new lots on the other side of the scale, it balances. They may violate or infringe on different sections of the municipal code, but the point is it doesn't further infringe. Finally, with respect to the overall function and utility of the lots, the city interprets the term overall to mean only Title 20 of the Bellingham Municipal Code. At the hearings below, we presented evidence as to the environmental considerations.
I'm going to bring you back to your last argument. So you're arguing that further infringe is a product of the totality of the weight of the accumulated infringements, but not designed to prohibit infringements of the code in a different manner from how the lots presently infringe upon the code.
Yes. I don't think there's anything that would indicate otherwise, one way or the other. And I think if you have a lot that, as proposed, if two houses were constructed on the lot, there would be massive infringements against the wetland stream or the critical areas issues. Lynn proposed the lots to create uplands on both lots so houses could be placed there. So in my view of that ordinance, it's a balancing act. And when you balance out the infringements on the different goals and ordinances of the city of Bellingham, it weighs even. And that's what further infringement means from our position in this case.
Not that it changes the nature of the nonconformity.
Correct. Thank you, Your Honor. I'd ask that you affirm the Superior Court.
I'll be very brief in my rebuttal.
What's the meaning of the word further? Is it the accumulated weight of the totality of the infringements, or is it to preclude nonconformities of a different type than the present
further
nonconformities.
Further is to prevent further both an increase in what other nonconformity is there, but also to prevent new ones. It's both.
And where do we find the answer to that within the code?
I think you just have to look at the wording of that provision in the code. I want to, in the limited time that I have, I want to stress that council said that the existing lots have their own nonconformities. That's not true, and the record doesn't support that. The existing lots meet the lot setback, lot depth, and right-of-way dedication requirements in their current lot configuration. Secondly, the denial is not based on one minor technicality. It's based on not meeting three substantial requirements of lot line adjustment approvals. My brief points out the need for variances or variance applications prior to the city denying your application. Otherwise, the city's approving a project that doesn't meet development standards based on the possibility that a variance may be granted in the future. And the variance requires public notice, public hearing, hearing before the hearing examiner, meeting the variance criteria. No variance was ever applied for, despite repeated recommendations from the city staff to submit a variance package with this proposal. Correct. No, absent with
–
no. The variances I'm talking about are the variances that are required under the proposed lot line configuration. The standards that they would need variances from, the current lot configuration meets.
They have been buildable as they were originally configured?
Yes.
As historic lots?
Yes. Now, they would need to do something with wetland buffers, possibly buffer averaging on the lot to the east. Thank you.